Welcome. It's episode 13 of the Nash Country Cooks podcast. Hey, again, y'all. Bill West here, Nash Country Cooks podcast. I haven't done one in a while, and I actually got a call the other day from Food Network saying, hey, we got this guy who's actually in town there who is doing the Spring Baking Championship Series. So I figured let's talk some baking here today. By the way, thank you to those who have been liking and putting in reviews for the podcast here on iTunes. Appreciate that very much. And as a simple reminder, you want to find out more about me, it's NashFM969.com. Just click on Bill West there or the talent lineup, and you can subscribe to the podcast there as well on Audio Boom and get a link to stuff I'm doing. In fact, I've got a book out called Barbecue Blueprint, soon to be on audiobook. And that information will be at barbecuetricks.com, where you can also download a free cookbook from me. Simple enough. Let's get right to it. Welcome to the Nash Country Cooks podcast. A gentleman right here, a hometown guy. And we always like these reality cooking shows. I have not actually caught the Spring Baking Championship show, but it's going to be on Sunday nights, Spring Baking Championship, back-to-back episodes Sunday nights. And you got some new bakers in the mix. And there's some tough love judges, Nancy Fuller, Duff Goldman, Lorraine Pascal, and all the competition should be pretty interesting, with grand prize $50,000 for the title of Spring Baking Championship. And I thought it was very cool. We have our own little competitor in the house, Mark Hayward Washington. Hey, Mark.
Hello, hello. How are you?
So, yeah, I talk on this show in particular. I mean, I'm personally into a lot of barbecue, but it's also, we're a country music station, Nash Country Cook. So we talk about country music. We talk about music in general. What kind of music do you like?
Variety. Like, the world is my oyster when it comes to music.
Yeah, you won't hurt my feelings if it's not country. But it just seemed like there's a lot of people that were into different genres of cooking and genres of music and musicians doing cookbooks. And I'm like, let's talk a little bit about it. So anyway, you're on Food Network. Have you ever done anything? Well, let me rewind.
Sure.
So we're in Charleston. And how long have you been in town, and what's your primary job?
I'm born and raised in Charleston.
Okay.
Lived there all my life. Family all over from John's Island, downtown Charleston. It's where I'm from.
Okay.
I am currently the executive pastry chef of Burwell Stonefire Grill, which is a steakhouse on downtown Charleston, Market Street, close to where the cruise ships come in.
Okay.
In the area.
So yeah, if people come into town, they need to try. What's your specialty?
My most popular dessert on there has been there since day one. It's called the Charleston S'mores. It's basically a play on the traditional s'mores, which we know, graham crackers, chocolate, marshmallow. What I've done is I've taken away the graham cracker, made a Benny wafer, which is a staple of Charleston, South Carolina.
Yep.
I make my own peanut butter mousse. I then coat that in chocolate. Make my own marshmallows as well. They're honey flavored. Toast those off with a little bit of butterscotch sauce and a little smoked sea salt for a nice campfire feel. You get a nice sweet and salty flavor.
Nice.
It's been on there since day one. I cannot take it off.
So yeah, how do you, I mean, when was the first time you made your own marshmallow?
It was at...
And how do you decide it's a challenge or what?
Well, it was actually at a restaurant that used to be here, Tristan. They still had their catering company, but the restaurant Tristan used to be here. And I first learned the technique there, actually. And it was, you know, I would have never thought, like, I became interested in bacon and pastry. I would have never thought I would have made an actual marshmallow. You know, it's kind of a funny thing to do.
How did you come up with baking as your niche?
That one was sort of tricky. I went to culinary school right here at Trident Technical College. And I wasn't quite sure yet which area I wanted to tackle. I wasn't sure if I wanted to go just strictly culinary or bacon and pastry. I went with culinary first. Actually, under my first semester, one of my instructors suggested that I go to a new restaurant that was opening, Oak Steakhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Very green. Very green I was. We're talking about, like, I really didn't know any of the key culinary terms yet, and I was already being thrown into a restaurant. So I was very nervous, and I can, the the first night was probably still my worst day of my career.
Oh, really?
Just like having me to do certain procedures and different food where it was like, I don't even know what this is. They're asking me if I'm done with my prep work. I'm like, I don't know. And so they quickly noticed that I was, you know, not too ready yet. And I honestly thought I was going to be let go like that day, but they held on to me. They basically put me downstairs to do a little like groundwork, some of the work that no one really wants to do, like shuck a bunch of oysters.
Yeah, right.
But I was working downstairs with the pastry chef at the time, and I would constantly just watch what she was doing, sometimes come in on my days off and help her out. And they saw from that point that you seem to have an interest in this. And I was like, you know, I do. So I continued on from there, actually.
And what was it with the pastry and desserts that was more interesting?
I think the obviously it's culinary arts, but the artistic value there in bacon and pastry just drew me closer to what I actually think I wanted to do at that point.
Yeah.
It just the flavors. The fruits, the smell of just cake baking.
Yeah, when you think of the artistry of it all is can be appealing. I can totally see that.
Exactly. Yeah.
And colors and
exactly.
You know, I guess then I look. You got colors in all different foods.
Mm-hmm.
Even at the Oak Steakhouse, you deal with big slabs of meat. That might not be real colorful, but desserts definitely.
Yeah, indeed.
Okay, so now fast forward a few years, and here you are, and you're on the Food Network.
Yes.
Was that like an aspiration of yours ever, or did it just happen?
It just happened. I'm not even sure how they found me. I don't know if someone recommended me. I was literally at Burwell's one night, middle of service, and the hostess comes back and is like, you have a call from Food Network. And I'm like, what? it actually took me a while to like want to accept the call. Like, I told her, like, I'll call them back, give me the number, and like, okay, I don't know what's going on. Took the time, ended up calling them back, and they told me about the Spring Bacon Championship and how they heard of me. Again, still at this point, not even knowing how.
And how did they?
I still don't know.
Oh, really?
I really don't know how they found me or anything. So they asked me to do a number of different interviews. I had to actually make something for them as well, too. And they decided they wanted me on their show. It was like, I really battled it, trying to figure out if it's something that I really want to do. But
why not?
I've never done a competition in my life. So to go to that extent on my very first competition in front of millions of viewers.
You're putting it all out there, right?
Yeah, I'm putting it all out there. So it was very interesting. But at the same time, I can remember my elders just saying, you know, when opportunity knocks, you got to open it. So
yeah, not only that, it's especially with these reality shows, it's kind of scary,
yeah.
Right?
You
not only are you putting it out there professionally in this case, if you're in the culinary world, but also personally, everybody's, especially if it's your first time doing TV,
exactly,
definitely could be a little unnerving.
Yes.
You gotta say. But I think why not?
Yeah.
Go for it. I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
So. Your normal day in, day out, you're at Burwell's.
Mm-hmm.
And are you in front of the patrons typically? Or is it, are you still working in the background, so to speak? Or I don't know how Burwell's does things.
Okay, so, well, as far as my job there, being the executive pastry chef, obviously I make the desserts. I'm also in control of bread there as well, too. So dinner rolls are all me. Burger buns for the burgers, all me. Hoagie rolls for different sandwiches that we do are for me. I'm also plate my desserts. I feel like lately you just don't see that form of a pastry chef anymore
right. That
much, where I feel like if you have a pastry chef at a restaurant, they make their stuff and then pantry or garmanger may be the ones who plate your desserts, or you don't have that pastry chef who actually makes bread. So it's like I cover all three. I love to plate because I love, again, the artistry. I want to see my food go out.
And yeah, I don't know that level of cuisine. Mm-hmm. So that's very interesting to me. And so what's your day like?
First things first, I got to start bread. bread is a very finicky, alive food. And I mainly say that just because of it's something you can't wait on. As soon as you add the yeast, the organism that, you know, helps bread rise, you have to watch it. So it's something that I have to definitely start off with first, just so I can make sure it's a time-oriented factor. Then I go straight into my desserts, prepping for that. S'mores, creme brulees, ice cream, sorbets. I have a pretty large dessert menu. I try to go be seasonally, and then I also create a dessert of the day just so I can give myself room to be a little bit more creative and not so stagnant with just doing the same desserts for a whole season. So do that. Also have cheese plates as well, too.
I love that.
Very grew into cheeses based off of a Tristan restaurant again. Never thought I would fall in love with cheese, but call me Steve Urkel, I guess. Like, I love it now, and it's definitely something I like to play with as well.
What's your favorite cheese?
I actually like blue cheese.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are like, can't stand the smell, but it's that funk that's very enriching. I love it. Definitely blue cheese. Mount Gorgonzola is probably my favorite.
Have you fine-tuned to know certain regional cheeses around here? Like, I know there's a Clemson blue cheese, which is
actually, we're kind of playing with that right now, too.
Yeah.
Then you got Battery Park, a few other cheeses like that. I haven't done locally that much. I did so in the beginning, but I've decided to sort of, I guess, broaden my horizons with different areas. I'm thinking about looking at Wisconsin cheeses here soon, too, and maybe a little bit more Spanish as well, too.
Okay, Mark Hayward Washington, he's on the Food Network show Spring Baking Championships, and it's on Sunday nights. And I'm going to ask you a little bit more about what that whole experience is like.
Okay.
A little bit more about your cooking and your baking and your pastry world, because I'm fascinated by it. Any tips for somebody who is baking that, like, you have kind of just doing it, being in the trenches every day, have kind of come to a conclusion like this is a great way to do it?
I've become a fan of internal temperatures. And what I mean by that is everything has a certain temperature at where it's perfect. We know a lot of this with steak. We know a lot of this even with our sickness. We know at a certain temperature, as a human being, we're sick. The same thing goes with bacon and pastry. For instance, I've learned that with cheesecake, I stick a thermometer right in the center of the cheesecake. Definitely the center, not the edge, because we know in baking, things bake from the outside in.
Mm-hmm.
You have to always make sure you check the center. If you reach the temperature between 160 and 165 degrees Fahrenheit, your cheesecake is done. There's no guessing. So
okay.
I've become well into internal temperatures with when it comes to baking.
Using that as a, and like the barbecue world, I do the same thing.
Yeah,
like especially
exactly.
Chicken. You want to do internal temperature, and the thermometers these days are getting a lot cheaper and a lot better, I
exactly.
guess.
Exactly.
What tools do you guys use? Does the pastry world have a specific digital?
There's candy thermometers for a lot of times when you're making candies or caramels and stuff like that. So they just hold, are safer around higher temperatures of heat.
Are those digital now?
They're digital too. Yeah.
So you go, okay, very interesting. All right, and then what's your favorite dish to make? Favorite dessert?
My favorite dessert. And it started with Oak Steakhouse, the classic Bananas Foster.
Oh, yeah.
Going back to the artistry of culinary, to me, I actually went to, I'll go back a little bit. I went to School of the Arts, middle and high school, here in Charleston, which was a school based on many different arts, from music.
They do food there?
They didn't. I don't know if they do now. I haven't been in a while. But they focused on, like, visual arts, music, theater, which I majored in. And it was from there where I actually decided to go into culinary. And the main reason why I bring up the school is because I've come to realize in order for something to be an art, it has to please one of the five senses. So, for instance, visual arts, that's obviously pleasing our eyes. Music, the ear. Culinary arts has the ability to please all five senses easily. Obviously, there's taste.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's smell. Sight, like a lot of us eat with our eyes, and so I bring up the Bananas Foster because that's one of the best ways to me to showcase all five senses being immediately gratified. So it's just that flambéing of the bananas with the liqueur and the flames erupting, just hearing that sound, the smell of the cinnamon and the rum, just everything about that dessert encompasses to me what, you know, culinary arts is.
It's
a fun thing to do tableside as well, too, for guests to see all that happen at in front of them.
You did that at the Oak a lot?
We did it in the beginning, and then it became a little too difficult.
Yeah, these days you got smoke alarms going on, right?
Yeah.
Since you probably have done it a zillion times, what's the step-by-step on Bananas Foster? Because it's all the same. The recipe is the recipe, right?
Yeah. There's nothing really different from it. So basically, you take a whole banana. You'll slice it right through the middle, basically long ways. You'll get a nice hot pan with a little bit of butter. You can use granulated. I prefer brown sugar because there's a little bit of that molasses still in there. You want to basically mix all that in together, let it get to a nice little bubble. Then you'll add your bananas. You'll basically saute that a little bit, add a little bit of cinnamon, and then you'll deglaze the pan with rum. I prefer Meyer's rum, nice little dark spice rum. And obviously be careful when you're doing this because the flames will erupt. You don't want to lose any eyebrows. Basically, I'll then finish that again with a little bit of butter to bring all that rum and cinnamon and all that flavor into a nice little sauce. You can just simply pour that into a bowl, and then normally you'll just take a nice scoop of vanilla ice cream right on top, so you get that nice hot and cold mixture, and it's just a simple, great dessert.
You got to burn the alcohol, the rum off.
Yeah, exactly.
What if you don't? Do you just at some point extinguish it, or do you have to wait till it all burns off?
You have to wait till it all burns off. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. You're burning off the alcohol to get the flavor of the rum, basically. Yeah.
There you go. So now let's go to Food Network.
Sure.
You get the call.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of process is it to decide to that they want you? They say they want you right away, or do you have to go to do an interview?
I had to do a series of interviews, actually. It was something I've never experienced, and it was very mind-blowing, actually. So basically, they call you and tell you that that they're interested. And so I said, sure, let's do this. And they basically wanted to interview with a number of different people as well, too.
Yeah.
So it was basically someone found me. Do you want to do this? Sure. Okay. So now you have to interview this person. So have an interview with this person. So they interview me basically trying to gauge the type of person that I am, what I've been doing. And then that person will then send me to, I guess, the next considering thought of whether I should be on the show or not. So they would send me to another person doing the same, asking me the same questions, but that time around they wanted to see a dessert that I could actually do. So I had to, this is all Skype at this point.
Okay.
So basically, again, talked about who I am, what I've been doing, and then I presented it. What did I make them? I made them a ricotta cheesecake, I believe it was, with mixed berry compote and dried berries.
Yeah, were they looking for... I mean, you nailed it. The visual arts, mm-hmm. and this is TV, mm-hmm. and so it's interesting that you already have that in your mind too. That you appreciate the visual
mm-hmm.
arts.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a way, it's baked into you already to kind of think about these things.
Yeah.
Were they just looking at this point you as a whole picture, or are they really looking at culinary skills yet?
I would say at the whole picture.
Yeah.
Because at that same moment, like in order for me to do the dessert that I had to do for them, they had to think time orientation as well too. With that being said, like I'm going to have a time limit on the show, so they want to know could I actually make a dessert within the time limit they gave me. So it was at this point it was almost like whether this was going to happen or not.
And see how you work under pressure, I guess.
Exactly.
Because if you're working against a clock,
mm-hmm.
are you used to working against the clock in baking anyway?
Like I stated with bread earlier, it's a very time-oriented career. I've known a lot of culinarians who don't like to go in the baking and pastry side of it because there's a lot of patience when it comes to baking and pastry. Certain measurements you have to go by. You couldn't just throw in salt or throw in baking soda. Like if you do that, you can totally disrupt what you're actually trying to make. And it goes with time as well, too. So you kind of have to know time based off what you're making and how you can actually manipulate it in a sense to speed things up. I've sort of learned a little things here and there with that type of thing too. So I was able to basically make what they wanted in enough time, which I think made me another factor of why they wanted me.
So you do your Skype thing, and then is there any go-to New York, or is it you just going for the first time when you're going for the taping?
First time for the taping, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I assume you get the phone calls, it's a go.
Mm-hmm.
Is this New York, or is that where they filmed?
This was in California.
Okay.
God, I cannot remember which area right now, to be honest.
Yeah, probably Santa Monica. All those areas.
Around those areas, yeah. It was definitely California. Second time that I've been there. The first time I was a kid, so I don't really remember it that much. So it was sort of exciting just going back.
And we'll see we'll see on Sunday night what it looks like. Mm-hmm. But how do they prepare you for, what do they tell you before you walk onto set?
Might not be able to say all that.
There's a lot.
There's a lot. It's weird. It's a very weird experience being on TV versus being on in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Just being in a different kitchen setting, not knowing where everything is, having to quickly familiarize yourself where everything is, and then again be thrown into that pressure of time and, you know, like, just go. So there were things said, but it was a lot of, you know, you just have to react mostly than anything.
So tell us, what are we going to see the first in the season premiere, and what overall, what's the show going to be like?
So we have a number of different chefs from all over America, with different skill sets, different careers as far as baking pastry. Some of them are executive pastry chefs. Some are very big cake decorators. You also have those who are not necessarily professionals, but really love baking and pastry, and so they got into it.
Are there people that you knew of well before? I mean, obviously, you got your judges that are renowned.
Yeah, no, I first time met any of them, so it was a very interesting thing on that alone. First episode is basically a Easter challenge. So you're going to see us all preparing desserts to look like Easter eggs, if you may.
Okay.
And baskets and whatnot. So get to
That's
see all that.
Episode one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And you can't tell us how you do in the show. We're just going to watch. In fact, by the time a lot of y'all are hearing this, you may already know. But does this, in the future, you're going to want to do more TV?
I don't know. It was definitely, like I said, the experience that I just wanted to, you know, try for the first time. If someone wanted me, sure, why not?
And you studied, you were at School of the Arts and visual arts and stuff. Does it make you, does it, any aspirations of doing more of that, maybe TV or any cookbook in your future or anything like that?
Right now, honestly, I'm kind of a little considering teaching.
Really?
Okay. Just the idea of giving back. My middle and high school still, teachers alone are, you know, drive me to do better and do great things. And I almost kind of like want to return that favor to the community and whatnot. I love what I do, very passionate about it. And, you know, it's obviously culinary here in Charleston is growing. I would like to help facilitate it.
What would be a typical way to do that? Like Culinary Institute?
Culinary Institute. There's a lot of the programs in high schools now, let alone colleges, are growing with the thought of doing culinary classes. Not home ec, legit culinary classes. I've met up with a friend not too long ago who's actually teaching at Somerville High School, Mr. Chef Eric Huff. And he's showing me where Somerville High School is about to go with their program. And it's, I mean, their schools are looking like my school at Trident.
Wow. Like,
really facilitated. So it very happy to see something like that going on. So, yeah, definitely that. Seminars, things like that, any which way that I can, you know, again, help.
There's all sorts of digital classes you can do as well.
Exactly, so. Yeah.
All right, let me find, I'm going to wrap up here with what we call our rapid fire questions. And it's about food and all sorts of music. You ready?
All right.
How do you like your steak?
Medium rare.
What's on your like playlist in the kitchen or tailgating?
Japanese music, music from the Muppets, R&B, a lot of video game music, hip hop.
That's good enough.
Yeah.
Favorite chef?
Malcolm Livingston II.
Who's that?
He's a pastry chef out of Noma in Denmark.
Awesome. What do you have a favorite cookbook by any chance?
Not a favorite cookbook, but a favorite reference book. It's called The Flavor Bible. And it's a nice Bible where it'll break down different ingredients and you can compare it with other ingredients that go well with it.
Super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Hayward Washington, he is competing in the Spring Baking Championship Sunday nights on Food Network. Catch him and appreciate you coming out here and talking
to me. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in. And again, Bill West here. If you want to find out more about what I do, it's bill@barbecuetricks.com. In fact, they do have that free cookbook, which is just waiting for you to grab at barbecuetricks.com. I'm going to leave you with a quote from Lyle Lovett, appropriate enough for the Nash Country Cooks podcast. He once said, quote, "Barbecue sauce is like a beautiful woman. It's too sweet. It's bound to be hiding something."